my friends and me were a wee bit MAD when it came to the selection of our favourite football team. In Glasgow there are usually only two teams to SEE, but there's always room for a little slice of eccentricity. Partick, T-H-I-S-T-L-E-R-N and yellow team.
Hello and welcome to episode 200 of Draw, Lose or Draw, a podcast covering all things Partick Thistle. Joining me to mark this special occasion, David Forrest. David, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Who thought that, you know, at the early episodes when Manpreet was doing the shopping in Asda, we were talking about like the Dunfermline game that we would get to 200 episodes. But yeah, here we are. I'm very excited for this.
And we have a special panel joining us today. Adam Miller of Old Firm Facts. Adam, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. Thanks for having me on. I'm just doing my shopping in Waitrose.
It's good to have you here, Adam. It popped up on one of my memories that it's 3 years since you were last on the podcast.
Is it that long?
Yeah, I know. Any sort of notable Thistle moments stand out in that time for you?
any notable Thistle moments? Probably last Monday when I was watching a man change into a Kingsley costume.
Yeah, myself and Mark Wallace, friend of the show, and Duncan Rayburn as well, all at Old Firm Facts Live show last week with Ray Bradshaw, Partick Thistle fan. We might chat about him a bit later on. Very, very enjoyable night, Adam. Thanks for joining us. And rounding off our panel, another second appearance, it's Mary Black. Mary, how are you?
Not bad. I'm surprised you had me back, but I'll take it.
I'm delighted to have you back. Just quickly, Mary, before we go into the sort of main theme of this episode, what have you made of Thistle this season? How have you found following them?
I mean, like every other season, isn't it? You think you're getting off to a great start and then you just go a bit stagnant for a while, you know, and losing stupid goals and stuff. But I suppose if you said to any Thistle fan, would you take being in the top three in the league? You'd go aye. So I kind of complain too much.
Yeah, happy with the job Chris Dillon's been doing?
Yes, I won't have a bad word said against that man.
Good, you're amongst friends here, I think. So the theme of this episode, we're going to act as judge and jury on 10 figures with some solid and some vague connections to Partick Thistle, and then we're going to give our verdict if they are true Thistle fans or not. So it'll be a jag or no jag situation. We've got 10 figures, and first up is the creator of the aforementioned Kingsley. It is David Shrigley. David, I'll come to you first on your namesake. What makes David Shrigley a candidate for this jag or no jag jury?
Well, I mean, he's a weirdo artist, so straight away he's in the top tier of Thistle fans. But by all accounts, I mean, we road tested this in the pub after the Women's Cup final on Sunday, and by all accounts, and I mentioned David Shrigley's name, it was met with he is a legitimate Thistle fan, goes to lots of games. Obviously, the creator of Kingsley, who guest on the Old Firm Facts live show, his big appearance so far. But I mean, David Shrigley, it's just he really fits the stereotype. But I mean, the thing I love about the Kingsley story is that whole Kingsley Capital Management thing came about because the guy who ran Kingsley Capital Management invited David Shrigley out to dinner, and he asked him, "What do you like to do in your spare time?" And he says, "I go see Thistle." And he said, "What is Thistle?" And he explained to him about this team in Glasgow that weren't Rangers or Celtic, and really enjoyed it and all that. And the guy who was head of Kingsford apparently went, "That sounds great. I'll invest like 200 grand in the club." And that's how they got the sponsorship. And then the whole Kingsley came out of that. But if it wasn't for David Sugar just going to dinner with some mad American venture capitalist, we wouldn't have got that sponsorship. So yeah, true jag.
Adam, you deal in the currency of cinch content. How much has Kingsley added to that in the last few years?
The currency of cinch content, that needs to go in the bio. yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's actually been something like been like 8 years or something since Kingsley came out, and it still feels like the novelty hasn't worn off. I mean, it's still something that people instantly, even if they don't know that much about Partick Thistle, everyone knows Kingsley. Maybe the only argument for him not being a Thistle fan is that he's taken a cult football club and given them mainstream attention, which is what I would imagine most Thistle fans don't like with their bands. I think he's been great. I think certainly in the first few months of it, when there were pictures of him with like FTOF on his arse and that kind of thing. I think he's been brilliant. And I think sometimes people can lose sight of the fact that football's supposed to be fun. And I think even just the daft stuff at the women's final the other day, where he was fighting with the Rangers mascot, all that kind of thing, I think it adds something. So, yeah, all in favour of Kingsley.
In a Guardian interview when Kingsley was sort of unveiled, Shrigley said he represents the angst of being a football fan, which anyone who has supported Partick Thistle over the last few decades understands. Man, that's basically a perfect introduction for Kingsley, yep. Isn't it? He's definitely going in as a Jag here, isn't he?
Aye. And I mean, it's also, like, I remember when he first got unveiled, there was that moment of, oh my God, what is that? And then very quickly it turned into, you can't say anything against him, he's your mascot. you're right, he just took on a life of his own. But I was laughing on Sunday because I went through for the women's final, and this guy comes up to me, like, bounding up, all happy, giving us a hug and everything. And it took me far too long to realise, oh, shit, that's Kingsley without the costume. So it's like the first time I've been talking to him in years without having that big mask on.
I think we might have some tougher decisions later on, but I think we've all agreed that David Shrigley, Kingsley creator, certified Jag. Next up on our list, Jeremy Corbyn. Now, this all comes from Scarfgate from a few years ago, when Corbyn was pictured strangely in a Partick Thistle scarf on a train journey. Adam, is there any other football team other than Arsenal, I suppose, that you can picture Jeremy Corbyn being
draped
in their colours?
It's just a, call it a hunch. I don't think Jeremy Corbyn has got too many associations with Rangers. I think the Corbyn Thistle thing makes sense, although to kind of go back to what I was saying about mainstream stuff, you think of Jeremy Corbyn, you hear that Seven Nation Army chant, and I think it'd be more appropriate at Thistle for maybe something from one of Jack White's solo projects or side projects, or maybe a White Stripes B-side or something like that. But I think the Corbyn thing makes sense. It's a weird picture, isn't it? He looks slightly kind of shocked when the picture's taken.
It's a fantastic picture.
That's because Ian McKinnon's just shoved a scarf in his face and taken a photo.
6 years on, it's been talked about in a podcast.
Mary, I don't know if you've ever had any deals with Jeremy Corbyn. Does he suggest to you that he might enjoy watching Thistle in his probably very limited spare time?
I should say, from knowing him to the extent of day, I think if he was to come to Glasgow for any length of time, I've no doubt that he would choose to go to Firhill rather than, you know, Ibrox or Celtic Park. But that doesn't make him a Thistle supporter, you know. So he's not a Jag for me, but I've no doubt that if he had any length of time in Glasgow, he probably would be.
Is it like one of them where he's like a taxi driver and he asks you who you support and you say Thistle and you go, oh yeah, I've got a soft spot for Thistle, but he's not really, that you couldn't name a player. That's what,
yeah,
I think.
Aye, definitely. Yeah.
David, any thoughts? Yeah, I think we're leaning towards no Jag for Corbyn, but I don't know if you want to make the case for him.
Well, I was all ready to go full on Jeremy Corbyn as a Jag. He spewed at Mets, that sort of thing. But then it was like one of my political heroes, you know, sort of people know I look up to politics. And I remember on a call with Mary Black, and it's like, nah, he's underneath that. No Jag.
No Jag, the verdict for Jeremy Corbyn then. Sorry if you're listening, Jeremy. Next up, David Hasselhoff, another similarly weird photo. When he was pictured in a Thistle top, somebody actually retweeted this. The official Partick Thistle account tweeted the photo, and it was when we were, I say it was when we were shit, like that's not an exclusive time period. It was a period we weren't very good, and the first reply was, can he play centre-half, which was absolutely excellent. I don't think we're going to beat that bit of pattern in the next 3 or 4 minutes, but Mary, David Hasselhoff, is he a jag for you?
Oh, I mean... I would say no, but he's been around Thistle gear for long enough, you know. It's, I mean, does he even know where he is half the time? Because I get the feeling that David Hasselhoff would just point him in a direction and he'll go full pelt, you know, without actually considering where he is or taking anything in.
I don't know, like, we go home and away quite a lot, and if you sort of look around the Thistle away ends, you could probably make the case that not many people know where they are.
that's very true.
Guilty.
David, any strong thoughts on Hasselhoff, by the way?
Well, after, like, you know, taking Jeremy Corbyn out of the back of the shed like Old Yeller and putting him down as a no jag, I can't have David Hasselhoff. Me and my dad loved Knight Rider as a kid, right? And, like, I don't know, I mean, he was in pantomime with Kingsley. We are so pantomime. Like, we are just such a pantomime club that, I don't know, I could not picture him at Rangers or Celtic. I just could not picture it. It would just be, it's just not, he feels very, he's shite enough where he can get away with being a Thistle fan. He's not properly huge to the point where we're like, no, he's not. Like, he realistically could be. I think, we'll put it this way, I think he would come on the pod when he comes back and does Panto in Glasgow again. And for that case, just as a hedge our bets, jag.
Could he be an honorary jag?
Is this like, you know, when they talk about like wartime goal scorers, like sort of like he's not properly on the list, but he's got some sort of achievement.
I think I want like an actual appearance from him, like on the pitch at halftime or something, doing the 50-50 before I declare him a jag. Adam, if memory serves, this was around the same time, like I think Snoop Dogg rocked up at Celtic Park. Where does Hasselhoff and maybe Snoop Dogg sort of rank in terms of just bizarre figures pictured in random Scottish football colours?
I think the number one still has to be Coolio at the Celtic match with Tommy Sheridan. but there was Wagner on the pitch at Dens Park as well. That was a good one. Yeah, I think he's up there, Hasselhoff. I would actually say I would have him down as a Thistle fan, and this is my logic for it. On Baywatch, he was regularly overshadowed by a striking blonde, much like Thistle players with Kingsley.
Very good.
I think that makes sense.
A lot of thought went into that.
Right, so we'll take a little vote on this one then. Adam, are you going jag?
Yes.
David, your jag?
He was on Baywatch, the famous red and yellow. I jag.
Mary?
I'll go jag.
David Hasselhoff, jag. Next up, this is wild. I could not find a single bit of information or proof of this on the internet anywhere. Robbie Williams once pulled
I have an article.
You've got an article? Fair enough.
I've got an article about this.
Okay, I'll hand over to you to explain then.
From the July 20th, 2003 edition of the Sunday Mail. Wow. Robbie Williams wowed an Austrian actress by pretending to be the boss of Partick Thistle. The singer used a bizarre chat-up line to impress stunning beauty Evelina Savara, 35. Robbie, who is touring Europe, introduced himself to the leggy blonde at a hotel bar in Vienna. But the former lingerie model failed to recognise the multi-millionaire pop star. When he invited her back to his room, he revealed his persona as a football boss. She said, when I went to his room, he told me he had work to finish on his computer because he was a manager of a Scottish football club. Yesterday, a pal of Robbie's revealed the club was Partick Thistle, and the source said, Robbie loves to kid on that he's someone else. It is so rare for him to meet anyone who doesn't know who he is that he loves it when he does. He'll say he's a lobster fisherman or a circus clown or a football manager. He will probably have chosen Partick Thistle because he loves the underdogs. He loves supporting smaller teams, and Thistle are one of those clubs that football fans have a soft spot for.
Right, my problem with this, Mary, is the sort of taxi driver situation again. Yep. Are we getting this shout out from Robbie Williams from a place of love, or have we been used here?
Oh, we've been utterly used, patronised. I don't even think he knows how to pronounce Partick Thistle, let alone know that we exist. And well, seeing that the quote is coming from a friend and not for him, I take no stock in it whatsoever. He's dead to me.
No jag. Adam, do you want to make the case for Robbie being a jag, or any thoughts?
Well, obviously, this is the first time hearing about it, right? But the thing I love about this story is the idea that Robbie Williams... Did you see this article was from 2003?
Yep, you know exactly, I know exactly where you're going with this. Right,
so the idea that Robbie Williams, who was maybe like a year or two out from having played Nebworth, one of the biggest pop stars in the world, was struggling to attract this model, and what really sealed the deal was saying, you know, John Lambie, I'm a bit like him. The other argument I had, so I'm skeptical about this, and yeah, I'm not sure a fan of the club who once employed Gary Caldwell as a manager can sing No Regrets.
The only leggy blonde that he could get would be Kingsley. Like, that's the only way that child line works.
I have a theory about this. Just because he mentioned about him, he had work to do on his computer. He definitely played this as in CM0102, didn't he? And this is where this has came from. That's what I think has happened. I think he's picked a team in Scotland, CM0102. And then for a laugh said that he was John Lambie, because Lambie did manage us at that time.
So what you're saying is he's seduced this supermodel, and then she's gone back to his room and he's started talking about Tonton Zola Makoko.
I've got two Madeira's agent on the phone as we speak.
I think we're edging towards no jag for Robbie Williams.
Also, who takes a lassie back to their hotel room and goes, 2 seconds, I need to go on my computer? Do you know what I mean? Like, no wonder she knocked him back.
He was going on to the We Are Thistle forum, arguing with Ian McKinnon, so.
Right, Robbie Williams firmly in the no jag camp with Jeremy Corbyn. We'll move on. Number five on the list, David, I'm going to come straight back to you here, because I don't want to make it sound like you're a big fan of it, but this is definitely your boy in terms of this list. It is Emperor Hirohito.
I mean, I would stress right now that Emperor Hirohito, he cannot be described as my boy politically. Certainly, I would like to make it affirmatively clear that I do not share politics of Emperor Hirohito. Not a statement I'd ever thought I'd make on a Scottish football podcast, but here we are. But Hirohito, he is in this list because he has the best bit of Partick Thistle trivia. Every time Emperor Hirohito came to the UK, we won a cup, because he came in 1921 and 1971, and that's it. And frankly, scatter his ashes in the Jackie husband, because we'll win a quadruple treble if we do. So, you know, take what you can get. It really is the would you cheer Hitler on a nine darter of like Thistle chat, isn't it?
Mary, on the way up to the Alan Ruff Lounge, where do you think the portrait of the Emperor should go when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame?
No, I'm actually just laughing at the fact that you're going, every time the Emperor came here, it was both times, two times.
You can't argue with results, Mary. You can't argue with results.
Even a broken team wins twice.
Mary, what do we think? Do we think he's a jag? Has he been inducted?
I mean, it's a piece of trivia that I've never heard before, and I'm absolutely going to use. And for that reason, I feel like I should give it some weight. But I mean, like, there'll be people that were alive in 1921 and 71 who don't get the same credit as this emperor. So I've yet to be convinced.
I also don't know about the optics of Mary Black pro Hirohito as a headline in the papers tomorrow. The Sun and the Daily Record will have you alive.
Adam, what about you? Do you have any thoughts on the Emperor or any other teams in Scotland you think you could see him supporting?
Just wish I could go on one Scottish football podcast without being asked about Emperor Hirohito. I like that the notes Matt sent me before this, he referred to Emperor Hirohito as, quote, a highly controversial figure.
I didn't want to sway your opinion either way.
I think, well, the only thing I could find in common is he reigned for 62 years, which makes him a forerunner to John Lambie, possibly. But I'm picturing you're talking about like the newspaper headlines, or like what, you know, if he'd be described in the press as thistle daft Emperor Hirohito.
Jagtastic.
Be mad over Scottish Cup Varkle. I'm skeptical about that one.
I think we're going to go no jag, possibly just to protect all of our own reputations. Unless anyone really wants to make a case for him, David, I know famously it's your boy.
Famously, I mean, he's not coming back, is he? He died in like the 80s, so he's never coming back to the UK. So he's kind of he's outworn his welcome for Hull, I think. So we'll go no jag.
The Emperor died, the Jag survives. Right, firmly, firmly no Jag then for Emperor Hirohito. We are past the halfway point. I hope you're still with us. Next up, another person you might have interacted with before, Mary. She had Partick Thistle listed as one of her interests on Facebook, and I think that's all we've got to go on. It is Laura Koonsberg. Mary, Jag or no Jag here?
Do you know what? I wish I'd known this so that I could go through her on this, because I have no doubt that she is not a jag at all, and that if anything, having that Partick Thistle being an interest will be it'll either be a calculated move to be oh, look at me, I'm very middle of the road, I'm just very nice, you know, that sort of taxi driver patronising way, or it'll just be that soft spot, oh yeah, I went to school near them, oh yeah, you know, and I can't go that, so no jag.
No jag. What team do you think she would support?
An English one.
Chelsea?
Probably. Yep.
Adam, Laura Koonsberg, I don't know if you're a fan or not. Can you see her in the John Lambie stand at all?
No, she doesn't support anyone because she's at the BBC and she maintains an impartial outlook on everything. I don't know. I was on the same train carriage as Laura Koonsberg last summer, and it was when he was named last year, it was the Hugh Edwards thing, right? Remember the big Hugh Edwards story, but no one knew who the identity was, and his name got leaked, and we looked at her phone, and then the second we get the update on it, she literally sprinted out of her train seat to make a call, but none of it involved Partick Thistle, sadly. I was also the same trip where I'm going off on the tangent. That was the same trip where we were sitting in a pub and the next table was Kevin Spacey.
Sharp.
Genuinely, really? He was in London for, I think it was his trial was going on at the time, and he was just sat there on his own, and one of the guys that was sitting with texted the group chat going, "Ah, it's Kevin Spacey," and I just didn't play cards. Went, "What?" And then he got out of his seat shortly after, and he put on a jacket, and he was wearing this massive red badge that said "Be Kind."
Oh my god!
Oh no!
Jack, that was a message for the judge.
I wonder if he actually wore that in court. That's
Be Kind. Adam, I know famously you always carry red and yellow scarves around with you as a big Thistle man. You're not tempted to sort of drape one of these around one of these famous people you meet and take a picture of them looking startled?
I learned my lesson after that run-in I had with Jeremy Corbyn a few years ago.
Yeah. David Koonsberg, I think again we're leaning towards no jag here unless you want to make a case.
Yeah, I mean, at risk of turning this into prick or no prick, much like Mary, she firmly in the camp of, yeah, she's not actually a Thistle fan. It's a calculated risk.
I'm glad that we've ended up here, like, not just welcoming everybody in. We're sort of gatekeeping a bit, but I like it. Next up, we've got Robert Carlyle, who he's been quoted in the past saying that in the English Premier League, it can cost £50 to watch a game. Who is that kind of money? And he prefers going to watch Thistle to any other team. I don't know if that's like a real declaration of love, that it might just be a sort of handy, convenient thing for him. David, any strong thoughts on Robert Carlyle?
I mean, he's a Rangers fan, isn't he? There's no way. I think the verdict would be, I think he is not a Thistle fan, but I think his kids are a Thistle fan. I believe he likes to take his kids to Thistle games because it's cheaper than Ibrox and it's not full of all the baggage that comes with Ibrox. I mean, I'm sure he'd buy a round in months if he was there. He very much seems like the sort of guy who would, get around the Munns. But I don't think that he is a Jag, but I think that he has a soft spot for us. But I think his kids could probably be described as Thistle fans. Although not being a Thistle fan and taking your kids to go see Thistle games is tantamount to child abuse, to be honest. But you should not do that. No Jag.
Adam, what about you? What do you think of Robert Carlyle? I think my problem is that we're quite an eclectic club. And Robert Carlyle, as a sort of accomplished actor as he is maybe just too boring a celebrity to have as a celebrity fan.
I think it's been mentioned. I think he genuinely is a Rangers fan, but I think with the, I just based it. I couldn't find any evidence for him actually being a Thistle fan, but I based this on his role in Trainspotting. So Begbie's obviously a Hibs fan, but at the same time, anyone named Frank who prefers to be called Francis has to be at least Thistle adjacent.
Mind you, you need to take into account that they're from Edinburgh, though.
No, that's true.
That's true. That's still the best case, however, for Robert Carlyle so far.
Well, I was going to say, however, famously, Jack Kennelly's is in Trainspotting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good Carlyle. Thistle connection there. Both him and Jack and Ellis were spotted in Trainspotting.
And the pub where he flung the pint glass or the balcony bit, it's not that far from Firhill.
Was it the cross something? I know the one you mean. It's
like on the corner. It's I knew that was in Trainspotting.
At risk of sounding like Sophia Musa spotted on Maryhill Road, you know, he has been seen in the local area. So, you know, maybe there's something there.
We might have a decision to make here then. This is a tight one. We'll take it to a vote. Mary, are we going Jag or no Jag?
I'm saying no Jag, but not as passionately as I have for the other ones.
Okay. Adam?
No Jag.
David?
No Jag.
Sorry, Robert. No Jag. Only two Jags so far. I think Robert Carlyle might have been the little lull mid episode as we build up to a big finale here. But next up, number eight, Hope Solo, who wore the 2019-20 away kit, which was the Pride kit, and she was pictured showing that off. Adam, I'll come to you on this one. In terms of sort of weird and unusual people holding or being pictured in club colours, this was maybe like the most positive example of that. And like, David can edit me out waffling here. I don't know what I'm trying to ask you, but what are your thoughts on Hope Solo?
Well, I mean, that was 5 years ago that Pride kit came out, and I remember there was Frank McAvaney ended up writing about this at the time. Frank McAvaney was giving it the whole your dad stuff about that. Thankfully, 5 years on, we've completely moved on from that kind of stuff about kits being too woke. No one's got any issues at all when anyone releases anything vaguely different in a kit, and everyone just gets on with their lives and the world past that. All I could think of was definitely not a Jag, because I don't think Partick Thistle have ever been associated with Hope.
That you've come on here and you've taken shots at us.
Case closed.
We'll maybe refer to us our surname from now on, Mary. But this was sort of a big moment. Are we welcoming Hope Solo into the club of Jags? Would she be welcome into the John Lambert game if she came over?
Well, I have to admit something. When you sent over the names that would be considering, I automatically just thought, oh, autocorrect has changed Han Solo to Hope Solo. And I was like, oh, there must be some Star Wars connection here that I've never heard of before.
So Han now Solo that it's just sidekick.
Now, because that's what I was thinking, this could be a really interesting story. Now I know what you are talking about. I feel I am not in any place to judge on now. So I'll take it into the John Lambie stand. Why not?
David is obviously very busy, you know, being the United States goalkeeper for a number of years. So that's probably why she's not been pictured in Maryhill or any championship away ground recently. But would you welcome her on one of your Travel Jags episodes, maybe going up to Arbroath if we get them in the League Cup again, something like that?
I think we could have a good 1-1 over a Burger and Wimpy, definitely at Dingwall. But I think that the one fundamental fact that we've forgotten about Hope Solo is she's a really good goalkeeper and ergo cannot be part of Team Thistle. See, when she starts chucking in a couple of goals for a laugh, then at that point, welcome to Maryhill. Here's your season ticket. Here's your role from Jack and Ellie's. Enjoy yourself. But she's quite good, and that's, you know, it's above us.
She's probably more likely to get offered like a 2 or 3 year deal then than she is getting invited.
When she's like 35 and she's had like 2 knee ops and is like still just kind of collecting a wage in at that point, you know, part of the team.
I think this is another close one, David. What's your verdict, Jag or no Jag?
I mean, we're really struggling for attendance here. I confirmed attendance of 2 so far out of our celebrity Jags hands. We kind of need to get the number up, so yeah, I'll go Jag.
Adam?
Yeah, you know, I'll go Jag. It was good what she did with the Pride kit and annoyed all the right kind of people, so on that basis, I'll let her be a Jag.
Yeah, Mary?
And as you say, she's probably busy in America. Han Solo has no such excuse, so she's going to go Jag for me.
Yeah, I hope Solo welcome into the club. Just quickly, Mary, would Han Solo have got in as well?
Absolutely. You're going to stand up and fight Han Solo?
No. So we've got 50% Solos in the crowd. That's good stuff. Next up, somebody else Mary might have had some interactions with, Michael Matheson MP, who maybe or maybe not streamed an Old Firm match on holiday. Surely he was streamed into the Friday Night Football, though, Mary.
So I have always known Michael Matheson to be a Thistle supporter. Like, that's just what I've heard from folk around him. So when I saw that he'd been streaming football and everyone was assuming it was the Old Firm game, but we were playing, was it Queen's Park we were playing? Because it was the 2nd of January, so I wondered, oh, maybe he wasn't streaming the Old Firm, and actually was like in Jag Zone or something, streaming the football. So honestly, I don't know, to tell you the truth, and I'm feared to ask him. I think it's quite a sore spot just now.
Adam, how much sort of content have you been provided from like figures outside football, politicians and things like that? I know some of them do sometimes get involved in football matters, which I think we've had some fun with on the podcast before, but and how much did you get out of this one?
Well, I will say, I mean, I don't use Twitter as much now. I don't tend to tweet that many jokes. I didn't do anything on Michael Matheson. I think 5 years ago I would have done, but yeah, I mean, it's always fun when those worlds... it's absolutely not always fun when politics and football collide, but it's fun when you get politicians sucked into football stuff that where there's not necessarily the religious aspect of it involved. In this case, it was really kind of strange story. I'm probably almost as compromised as your other guest in this discussion because I'm sat in the lobby of the Herald recording this. So again, I will maintain absolute impartiality on this one, but it was a strange storyline, and I felt it could have been nipped in the bud earlier than it was. But as to whether or not he's a Jag, I'm on the fence with that one.
I'll come to you in a minute, David, for your thoughts. Mary, just on like MPs yeah. in the House of Commons, who other than yourself, obviously, who's the biggest football fan in there?
So Chris Stevens is a Thistle supporter.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual football fans.
The Thistle fans and football fans have to be listed separately.
Well, no, because I was thinking I want to give Chris a shout out because he is the other Jag, and I always get excited when I find another Jag somewhere. But I'd probably say Nanners, Brendan O'Hara's like a mad Celtic supporter, really mad. So he jumped to my mind when you said football supporters.
David, are we welcoming a second MP or a third MP if we include Chris in as well into our Jags club, or is Michael Matheson, is he out?
Luckily, I work in a shit job and don't have to hide my political allegiances. But no, I mean, how dare you? He got huckled out at the 5-4 game at Hampden against QP. Jags to his core. In hospitality for Morton when Craigan scored. You made a very good point, Mary, about streaming the game, and we were playing Thistle Queen's Park. Do you think what's happened is that they've said to him, "What were you doing?" And he went, "I was streaming the Glasgow Derby," and then they've just immediately thought it was the Old Firm, and he had to immediately backtrack and try and explain, "No, it's Thistle QP." But yeah, no, go on. It's always good to have an MP in your side for when you need like planning permission or something like that. So yeah, find a way, Jag.
Maybe we might eventually get that training ground then. I suppose the more the merrier. Mary, are you going Jag or no Jag here?
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and I'll go Jag, because that's always what I've heard, is he's a Jags fan.
Adam?
I'll go Jag then, yeah.
Right, he's in. He's the fourth Jag, and it's Michael Matheson, MP. Last on our list, very excited.
It's just him, though, not the iPad. Just him, I'm taking.
Okay. Last on our list, very excited to talk about this man. The epitome of Jag or no Jag. Many a debate has raged on the Facebook groups about this. It is Ian McCall, manager of Clyde FC. Mary, he's had two spells in the Far Hill dugout, but before we get on to is he a Thistle man or not, what did you make of his second spell and how it ended?
I think a lot of it, well, in terms of how his second spell ended, because I mean, I think most folk were pretty happy with him. I know he started to get a bit of a sugary peg towards the end, but I think the downfall happened more from the actual organisation of the club, like with the chairman and the board and all that. And I think it really let him down, the fact that he didn't seem to be on top of that, or certainly didn't seem to see the way the wind was blowing with it. I think that came back to bite him, probably a wee bit worse than the results were doing.
Sure. Adam, and well, obviously folk who attended your live show will know that Neil Lennon is obviously the content king of Partick Thistle, not Partick Thistle, maybe a future Partick Thistle, he's got all the credentials, but Scottish football managers, Ian McCall, I'm guessing, though, maybe just a step down from that, he's given you some good moments down the years.
Ian McCall's been great. The one thing, and it's kind of hard to convey in an audio podcast, one of the things I love over the years is the amount of times there's a look he has in a lot of photos, whether he's getting a Manager of the Month award or he's introducing a new signing or whatever, it'd be like good news, and it's almost that sort of Steve Clarke thing of just the constant, even if it's the best thing that's ever happened, you just never guess it from his face. But I think Ian McCall's been great value over the years. I think in terms of being a Jags fan, the only connection, well, not the only connection, obviously there's loads of connections, but the one I landed on is you would associate Thistle fans being good dressers. And when I think of Ian McCall, I think of the time he showed up for Thistle training in a Thistle jacket and Air United joggies.
I don't think he's like stopped doing that. I think folks still see him like wandering about Byers Road and like Thistle.
I was going to say, I have never seen him in anything other than joggies, like training gear. Whether it's pouring, sun shining, he's always just in that cap and joggies.
I know the exact look you're talking about, though, Adam. He's got quite a distinctive, it's almost like a pout, an angry pout. David, I'm sort of tempted to include Ian McCall here. Like, if we're including like David Hasselhoff, I think we've got to include Ian McCall, who's like a league title winning manager for us. However, on the rap sheet, he has sort of mentioned that he grew up supporting Queen of the South, and he also did go to Seville for the Europa League final. Well, you could have bring him down a peg or two.
Well, I have a hot take on this, right? I genuinely believe, right, the reason we got Stevie Lawless is because Ian McCall got him a ticket for Seville. That, I think, if you told me, right, if he came out tomorrow and says, Stevie Lawless came out and says, I signed for Thistle again, I would, you know, Queen's Park were offering me stupid lower toy wages, but McCall got me a ticket for Seville, so I went with Thistle. I'd be like, yeah, absolutely fair. And I'm convinced that was a factor in there. And I mean, he drinks an ubiquitous chip. He's always got a fag on him. He talked about Sartre when he came on our pod. We had like a minute long back and forth, and he says that he was too intellectual to eat at Greg's. Now, all signs are pointing to Jag, right? I will say there's one elephant in the room / under the pitch that we need to discuss. If he relegates Clyde, give him a statute for Hull, right? That's basically it. Right? If he relegates Clyde down to the Lowlands and with all the shite teams at Cali Brave and East Kilbride, then great, fantastic, you know, Jag's legend, you know. Get an open top bus just for him on the bus down Mary Hill Road to celebrate him relegating Clyde. If he keeps him up, it's great. But I mean, I love that he looks like a hostage in every video that Clyde posts of him. He has a big Gulf War hostage crisis vibe about him when he's in any media with Clyde. And you know what? Fair play. Jag.
there was one that was like, I think it was him and maybe his assistant at the time. I don't know what club he was at the time. And they were both posing with the Manager of the Month award. And I think I tweeted something along the lines of, look, we're not angry at you. Just come home and we can talk about it or something. I just kept looking at those appeal videos.
Mary, are we welcoming the Clyde manager and possible Rangers fan Ian McCall into the Jags club?
Yes, I would. I mean, I was thinking there, I think he's definitely not a Thistle supporter, but he's one of the few folk who, if they said they had a soft spot for Thistle, I wouldn't be that upset, you know, because I think he genuinely probably does. But aye, if we're letting in Hasselhoff, then yes, I think Ian McCall would have a warm welcome.
I agree with you. In between his spells as well, I saw him a few times at Firhill. And I know it's probably not his first club, but I think he has been seen at Firhill since he left as well. So I think, yeah, he does have a soft spot. David, are you going Jag?
I'm going Jag, and I have the absolute silver bullet here. He had a pish at Livingston Station with all the other Jags fans at the Ramsden's Cup final because the toilet was broken in the train. That is confirmed evidence. So he was at the Ramsden's Cup final with all the fans. Jag.
Yeah, and he's signed some, in like 20, 30 years when we look back, we look at some of the players he's signed as well. As you mentioned, David brought back Lawless. He signed Chris Erskine, signed Chris Doolan. Yeah, more than a fair contribution. Adam, are you going to round this off a full house for Ian McCall being a Jag?
Yeah, I will. The only thing that was holding me back was when you mentioned that he was in Seville, but I was thinking about that, and is it not just possible that, like so many people in Scotland that came out of the woodwork, he was an Eintracht Frankfurt fan all along? Was that week that suddenly popped out of the woodwork claiming to be big Eintracht Frankfurt fans? But past that, I think Thistle fan, Jag, go for it.
Excellent. So that's the end of our list. So we have welcomed David Shrigley, David Hasselhoff, Hope Solo, Michael Matheson MP, and Ian McCall into our club of Jags. And apologies to the other five who sadly didn't make it. Running on.
Like,
oh, look. And it's another tough defeat for him. Adam, I think when you were on 3 years ago, we debuted the Partridge Thistle section, and I'm sure you will be absolutely stunned to hear that this has become a weekly feature. I can't say popular weekly feature, but it has become a weekly feature. Now, running straight on from the Ian McCall chat, I'm going to ask you all to round off this episode. Where are you banned from entering? Adam, I'll start with you. Are you banned from anywhere?
I was trying to think. I know that there... literally about 3 weeks ago there were several pubs that I was KB'd from, which I'm going to blame on the other person I was with at the time. The only place I can think of where I was sort of quite clearly told don't come back was when I was a teenager. I did work experience at Super Scoreboard, and I mean, this is a long time ago. I was like 16 at the time, and I've since been back in the studio doing other things. But that was with about a 15-20 year gap, and it was basically I was doing the switchboard for the open line, and you're supposed to not let anyone drunk or too young on, and I think I let both of those categories on here.
Hopefully different people.
Yeah, and I was sort of unceremoniously...
14-year-old.
Yeah, unceremoniously not invited back. As Stephen Mill mentioned on the live show last week, if you think about the people who get on Super Scoreboard, imagine the people who don't get past the switchboard.
That's very much a similar vibe for who gets on this podcast. If you think we are bad, go down the woody or something. Mary, what about you? Are you banned from anywhere?
I'm afraid I've not been actually like just categorically banned. Like, I've been papped out of places before, but the one place where it was definitely made clear, you're no welcome, please don't come back, even though nobody said those words, the eyes did. And it was in a bar in the House of Lords, because I thought, wow, I'm going to go down there and see what it's like. Oh, they did not like it. So I've never been back, and I don't think there's been any complaints of me not going back.
When you said that there, that nobody said it, but you got the impression, I thought you were going to say Ibrox after the cup game last season. Yeah, I thought that was what's coming next.
That was when we went to that game, both my dad and my brother were like, right, get a hat on, get a scarf wrapped around your face, put glasses on. I don't need to put glasses on. Like, we'll smuggle you in and smuggle you back out again. So effort went into that.
David, other than Ali Shans and Battlefield, where are you not welcome?
I give him some money, it's fine. They got my trade. I was thinking about this, and after you saying that Hirohito was my boy, I thought I'd say, Matt, as a massive 9/11 conspiracy theorist as you are, you know, you'll enjoy this one. I am very much banned from the David Icke message board, because I was a teenager. You know, not when you say you're interested in conspiracy theories, that makes people think you know you care about chemtrails and stuff like that. I was interested in bombing up conspiracy theorists, and I used to routinely go into the David Icke forum and just cause havoc. And it used to be in the good old days of the internet, where they would block your username, or they block your IP address, so you would just turn off your router and it would change your IP address, and you'd be able to get back on and log on with another username. Multiple bannings in the David Icke forums for just not taking things seriously. Lots of wrestling jokes about the New World Order, because that's a big wrestling group. Are you Wolfpack of Hollywood? That sort of thing. They did not like me in the David Icke forums. I'm sure me and you probably had many running battles on there, Matt, and in 9/11, Fred. But yeah, the David Icke forums for sure. I get many bannings off of there for just being a stupid prick.
I'm banned from Peter Shelton's Twitter account.
I was about to say, I think we've got that in common.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm banned from many people's Twitter accounts, but Shelton's a standout one because I get reminded of it on a regular basis.
Superb.
If we're counting Twitter accounts.
I mean, if we're banned from Peter Shelton's Twitter account, we're probably not welcome to turn up at his residence either. That probably brings us nicely to an end. So, Adam, Mary, and David, thank you very much for joining me. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. And thank you for listening to this special episode of Draw, Lose or Draw. And thank you for listening if you've tuned into any of our 200 episodes. So far, we've got plans, obviously, for another 100. Hopefully, fingers crossed. So in the meantime, stay safe. But freedom, I have none.